beautifully, beautifully done. We need to pray for all of our young people who are going back to college, whether it's here, whether it's abroad. How many of you parents have a child that has left for college? Would you raise your hand? And so we're praying for you, asking the Lord to touch those kids and use them for the glory of God. What a blessing it is for mom and daddy to have a child that wants to serve the Lord. That is a blessing, no doubt about it. All 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, and now's your time to escape the service. All 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, now's your time. You should have received something on your way in, just or maybe unless you came in a little bit late, which is possible. If you do not have a copy of this bulletin and this little gift, would you raise your hand, please? I'd like for all of you to have a copy of this, okay? All of you, children, teens, adults, I'd like all of you to have a copy of both of these things in your hand. And I'm going to talk you through these things tonight. I want you to find your place in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's go ahead and move it to the next slide up there, if you don't mind. And I want to keep it up the whole time that I'm speaking. This is the theme that the Lord has laid on my heart for this year. And not just for this year, but really the rest of our life. There's no doubt about that. And really, if you're following with me here, this theme is about our first part of our motto. It's really about having a heart for God. It's just another way of saying it. Being a church that pleases God. And this is something the Lord has burned in my heart. I can't get away from it. That's one way I know that this is the theme for this year. And I know it's coming from the Lord. There's no doubt about that. Tonight's going to be a little bit different, if you will. Of course, I'm a preacher. That's just who God has made me. And I don't apologize for that. That's who I am. With this, I want to teach through this if I can. We're going to be turning through it to a lot of scripture tonight because I want you to see this. And I want to say this to you. I'm plowing towards one major thought. I know there's a lot of thoughts here, but there's really one thought that I'm trying to get across. It'll come out towards the end. And just in case you're wondering what it is, it's on the back of your bulletin. This is the thought that I'm trying to get to. There's no question tonight that God wants this church to be a church that's pleasing to Him. Amen? Here's the question. The answer's on the back, and this is where we're going. How can this local church be a church that pleases God? I'll tell you how. It's like I was telling the teenagers in truth tonight. When God looks at the local church, He doesn't look at a building. You say, where's Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Well, it's behind Burger King. Don't you like how I use eating places for things like that? But in reality, that's not true. This is where the church meets. But this building is not the church. Is it so? This building is not the church. The church is the people. You are the church. I am the church. And the way for this local church to be a church that's pleasing to God, then I need to be a Christian that's pleasing to God. And if I'm a Christian that's pleasing to God, and you're a Christian that's pleasing to God, and we have enough Christians pleasing to God, then we'll automatically have a church that pleases God. Are you with me tonight? Let me pray with you, and I'm going to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And I hope you'll follow along with me here. Let's pray together. Father, would you touch this service? Speak to our hearts. Speak to me. Challenge us. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us to love you, trust you, believe you, and obey you tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to take these two things out, the insert, which is the calendar, and this little, what I call a marker for your Bible. This is a bookmark. It's also a ruler. Of course, Brother Bob, Bryant is accusing me of telling him that I gave this to him to measure his wife's tongue. But that is not true. I did not say that, okay? He said that, and he also said it's not big enough. But anyway, I don't know what to do about that. I'm not sure that's pleasing to the Lord, Brother Bob. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure. That's funny. I'm with you, but I'm not sure it's pleasing. But anyway, I'm just kidding with you. I'm not kidding about what he said. That is what he said. But anyway, I'm trying to get him in trouble. You know, a good pastor just tries to disrupt marriages. Did you know that? I mean, all this. I'm just kidding with you. This is made for you can so you can use it, but you'll notice it's got the theme on it, being a church that pleases God. I want to challenge you to make this your Bible bookmark. Put it in your Bible. Because you should be opening your Bible every day. Amen. If you're not, you need to start this year. Put it right where you're at, because here's my challenge. I want you to put it where you are, so when you get your Bible out to walk with God, there it is. And now you breathe a prayer. Oh God, help me be a Christian that pleases you today. And help our church to be a church that pleases God. The calendar there in front of you, I'm getting ready to get started here, but the calendar in front of you, these are not all the events. Like, our prayer meeting's not on here, like the cancer meeting's not on here, the bus meetings are not on here. These are just some big events that I would encourage you, that I thought you would like to have these big events so you can put them on your calendar. Because I'd like to encourage you to work your calendar around the church calendar if at all possible. And just working down through these things, we've been pushing these things in January, but notice in February, this is a Thursday night, February 21st, this will start to be the lead article. Next Sunday will be our couples dinner, and I encourage you to make plans to be with us. On March the 2nd is the Wild Beast Feast. Some of those flyers are already available for you out on the Welcome Center. And you'll notice in April the 5th, 6th, and 7th, we have Brother Scott Pauley coming to be with us, one of God's tremendous preachers, no doubt about it. He'll be here for the family recharge on Friday and Saturday, and then he's staying over and preaching for us on Sunday. I'm excited about that. Then the following Wednesday begins our mission conference. And we have four missionary families coming this year, and none of them have been here before. All four of them are those that we've been supporting. We vetted them, all those kind of things. But to my knowledge, they have never been to this church. And all four families are going to be with us, supposed to be with us from Wednesday all the way through Sunday. One family's coming in on Thursday, I think it is. And we're excited about our mission conference, Faith Promise Sunday, on that Sunday. You'll notice in June here some of the camps and also VBS. In July, this is the junior day camp and the teen camp. In August, if you'll notice the 25th, I'd like for you to really highlight that. That is the big day of the year, the biggest day of the year. We try to have one gigantic day a year, other special pushes throughout the year, but one big day, that is it. It's our 240th church birthday, and you'll notice I'm so excited about this. The Inspirations will be here to sing for us, and I'm excited about that. And so you talking about somebody that's just country. Now, I'm telling you, Brother Archie Watkins is a country boy, no doubt about that. And they're going to be with us on Sunday morning of that day, and we're excited about that. You'll notice in September we have Brother Dave Young coming to be with us on Sunday through Wednesday. November and December, we're still planning some things. So that's why I just had the ladies just put special events to be announced there. We'll give those to you as we get a little bit closer. All right? You're in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I want you to keep your bulletin open with me tonight, that little blue paper there, because I'm going to work basically straight down through that. I may deviate from it a little bit. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, this is the church in Thessalonica. And this was a local church that was pleasing to God. No doubt about it. This church pleased God. You come to chapter 4, verse 1. This is our theme verse for this year. I'd like to challenge you along with me. I'd like to challenge you to memorize this verse, because this is the verse that goes with our theme, being a church that pleases God. Now, notice what is written to this local church in chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk," here it is, "and to please God," there it is, "so you would abound more and more." It's interesting, in this particular book, the book of 1 Thessalonians, written to this local church that pleased God, notice the Bible says that you've heard how you ought to walk to please God and to abound more and more in this. In other words, there's no place to stop. God wants us to be pleasing to Him, but just continue, abound more and more in that. It's interesting when you come to this book here, at this particular book of the Bible, there is no reference to the numbers. In other words, how many people were in this church, we don't know. It doesn't tell us how big the church was. This book will not tell you what kind of programs they had. It doesn't tell you what kind of sermons were preached, what kind of music they used. You won't find that in this book. But it does tell us about what they were internally. If you study this book, it's like God sticks the thermometer, if you will, inside the church and takes its temperature. And when he stuck the spiritual thermometer inside this local church, it came out normal, well-pleasing to God. See, somewhere along the line, and you may be following me here, you may not, that's fine. You can just look at me if you want, but that paper is much more prettier than I am, all right? Somewhere along the line, God takes the internal temperature of the local church. And when he takes the internal temperature of the local church, I wonder when he takes our temperature, what's the reading? Is it normal? We run into temperatures. Is there some kind of infection? We've got sickness among us. I want God to find a normal reading, don't you? This is what this is. Among other things, there's no doubt that the Lord desires this church to be a church that pleases God. There's no question about it. This is the theme for this year that the Lord's laid on my heart. Being a church that pleases God. Now notice the word being. This is the key word. Because that word being there is in the present tense, continuous action. What that means is this: at any given moment, we are to be, at that moment, a church that pleases God. In other words, right now, God wants us to be well-pleasing in His sight. In 30 minutes from now, we should still be a church that pleases God. On Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday, on Sunday, week after week, year after year, it's always present. There's no doubt that this church has been a church that pleases God. There's no doubt that we desire to be, in the future tense, to be a church that pleases God. But where are we right now? The answer to that is wherever you are and wherever I am. Now, this being the case, a local church does not exist. It does not exist to entertain men. It never has and never will exist to make man feel good. Now, there's nothing wrong with feeling good. I'm telling you, friends, I've enjoyed the music today. I've enjoyed it. I mean, I think it's been good. I think it's been great. I've felt good about that. But, folks, it's not about me feeling good. You don't have a good church just because it makes somebody feel good. Matter of fact, if you don't ever feel bad, something's wrong somewhere. It takes both. And what I'm saying here is that a church does not exist to please or entertain men, but rather it exists to bring glory to God. That's it. You know, when we settle this, this settles everything else in life. Let us never fall in the trap of being a church that tries to please man, but rather strive to be a church that pleases God. It settles everything. It settles the music you use. It settles your action, your attitude. In other words, there are certain things you're not going to do because you know God's not pleased with it. But there's other things that you will do, even if you don't necessarily want to do it sometimes, because you know doing that pleases God. May I say this to us? This theme that I've chosen for this local church, being a church that pleases God, this theme, you could take out the word church and put marriage, life, Sunday school class, bus route. You can just apply it to wherever you're at. Being a Christian that pleases God, being a church that pleases God, being a marriage that pleases God, being a teenager that pleases God, being a man that, just apply it because it applies the same way. Because the church is just made up of individuals. That's all it is. Now this being the case, being a church that pleases God means that we will be summarized. Now this is not exhaustive, okay? But these are 13 things the Lord laid on my heart that if we are going to be a church that's truly pleasing to God, then these things are the things that we will be summarized by. A church that's being a church that pleases God will be a blank church. Now here's where we're going to turn to several scriptures. Number one, it will be a Bible church. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to have you turn to these scriptures because I want you to see them. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Now here's the thought. The thought is we want to be current tense, present tense, continuous action. It never stops. We're abounding more and more in this to be a church that pleases God. The way that we're a church that pleases God is we are individual Christians that please God. And if we do that and we decide to do that and we plan to do that, then the church is not just going to be affected. Our marriage will be affected. Our life will be affected. Our home will be affected. Follow me where I'm going with this, right? And if this is a church that pleases God, then we will be a Bible church. But see where I'm going with this. If I'm going to have a marriage that's pleasing to God, it'll be a Bible marriage. Don't miss what I'm saying here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Somebody say amen there. I had a missionary questionnaire come through this week. I send questionnaires to them because missionaries are trying to raise support. And I asked them a question about their stand on the Word of God. And here's what the missionary wrote down. I believe only the originals were inspired. I threw it away. We're not supporting him. Amen. I don't just believe that the originals were inspired. I know they were. But he also made this statement, basically, that he does not believe that we have the inspired Word of God today. Are you listening to me? I know we don't have the originals. I get that. They were inspired, but God preserved them down through the generations. And what I hold up in my hands when I hold the King James Version Bible up in the English language, I don't hold some of God's Word. I hold the inspired Word of God. That's what this book is. Now, folks, if God's not big enough to preserve His inspired Word, then what do you believe and what do you not? What do you take and what do you belittle? I know I'm guilty of it again. I'm getting riled up again. It's just who you have as your pastor. I'm glad I do get riled up on some of these things. Amen. That we are going to be a Bible. If we're going to please God, we're going to please the Lord, we're going to be a Bible church. That means we're going to preach it. We're going to teach it. We're not going to preach our own thoughts, our own philosophies. Now, I know a pastor's got to preach philosophy, like Sunday school philosophy, but I'm talking about when you get up in the pulpit, don't tell me what you think. Tell me what God said, because that's what makes the difference. Amen. That's what this church is today, friends. We're going to teach the Bible. We're going to preach the Bible. We're going to say, thus saith the Lord. Don't ever let that change. If we're going to be a church that's being a church that pleases God, then we'll be a Bible church. I didn't even read all those verses, did I? It said it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If we're going to be a church that pleases God, then we'll be a Bible church. Secondly, turn to the book of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we will be a praying church. Now, we've been preaching along these lines finishing up last year. We will be a church, if we're pleasing God, we're going to be a Bible church, a church that just focuses on the Word of God. We're going to preach it, we're going to teach it, we're going to love it, we're going to promote it. We're going to be a praying church, a church that prays. Apply it to your marriage, apply it to your life. A marriage that pleases God is a praying marriage. They pray, they talk to God. Individually, all these kind of things. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and all these folks. Look at verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. If a church is a well-pleasing church to God, a church that's being a church that pleases God, they will be a church that's praying. No doubt about it. Matter of fact, the Lord's laid on my heart, and I'm still working on this. I'm still formulating this. But a prayer ministry in this local church. A ministry where we lift it out to make it stand alone by itself. That every ministry should be focused in prayer. Now, we're not necessarily doing this yet, as far as all, I know the ushers are, and so on, because we've started there, and I love seeing them. I saw it this morning, or maybe that was tonight, or maybe it was both.
right before the service starts, they get in a circle and put their arms around each other and they pray and ask God to help them. The choir should be doing that. The bus route should be doing that before they pull out of the parking lot. The Sunday school class should be doing that. We need to emphasize it. No doubt about it. We've got to pray. Why? Because it pleases God. And if it pleases Him, He's going to bless it. Amen. And if we're going to be a church that pleases God, then we're going to be a Bible church. We're going to be a praying church. Look at John chapter 4. We're going to be a worshiping church. I'm trying not to get bogged down in these. Here's my plan for this year. If God will help me do this, now I'm not going to put myself in a box, so don't you try to put me in a box. I'm just telling you my plan. My plan is to occasionally bring out one of these 13 points and preach a message on it. Just to keep the theme before us that we're going to be a church that pleases God. And if we're going to be a church that pleases God, we're going to be a Bible church. And we're going to be a praying church. And we're going to be a worshiping church. I guess a good word to put there would be a true worshiping church. Because in John chapter 4, look at verse 23, the Bible says this: "But the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers," there it is, "true worshipers, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him." God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let me make this statement. Everybody worships. Do you understand that? Everybody worships. But God wants us to give true worship. To worship Him in spirit and in truth. In other words, He wants us to fear Him alone. He wants us to worship Him alone. Nobody else deserves our worship. Nobody else is worthy of our worship. Only God is. The Bible says in Psalm 147:11, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him." You know what pleases the Lord? When you fear Him. That's what the Bible says. If you respect Him, you fear Him, you stand in awe of Him, God says, "I take pleasure in that. I like that." We'll be a worshiping church. Flip to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and look at verse number 15. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 15. The fourth thing that a church that's being a church that's pleasing to God, the fourth thing is that we will be a holy church. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 15. The Bible says, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Separate from sin. You know, there are churches who get criticized, if you will, by the world for trying to have standards. And I know standards can mean different things for different people. And you have to be very careful that you think your standard is not the only standard. Amen. Depending on what you're talking about. Now, if you're talking about the Bible and you're talking about salvation, and I mean, there's only one standard. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? But when it comes to music, when it comes to dress and things like that, the standard is modesty. And that means different things to different people. Well, I'm not going to die on that hill, friends. I'm just going to say you ought to dress modest. You should not draw attention to yourself. And for our leaders, we have certain things that we ask. And I'm very comfortable with that. But where I'm going with this is this. If a church refuses to preach holiness, they are refusing to preach who Christ is. And a church that's pleasing to God will be a holy church. Because that's who God is. Let me give you another one. In Hebrews chapter number 5, Hebrews chapter 5, you're close to it there. Just flip back a little bit. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number, Hebrews chapter 11. I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 is what it is. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. I'm coming back here later. But it says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." A church that's pleasing to God is a believing church. a church that believes God, that just has faith in God. The Lord is looking for a church that says, I believe God. And when he finds a church like that, he's going to do great things in that local church. No doubt about it. The next one is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and look at verse number 7. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 7. And that is, a church that's being a church that pleases God is a giving church. A giving church. And anytime you hear that word, you automatically think of what? You think of money, right? But folks, it doesn't start with money. It starts with giving yourself. Because when you give yourself, your money naturally goes along with it, you see. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 7, the Bible says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. What's that mean? That means, according as you purpose in your heart, give. But don't do it grudgingly. I can't believe I've got to do this. And don't do it of necessity. Boy, I just have to do this because I know if I don't, God is not pleased. God says, don't give that way. God loves a cheerful giver. See, giving is an act of worship. And we ought to say, thank you, God, that I can worship you like this. So I dealt with that a little bit this morning. It's a giving church. The next one, look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John, not John, but 1 John toward the end of the Bible. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. And that is, a church being a church that's pleasing to God is a loving church. A loving church. Look at 1 John 3, 11. The Bible says, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Love one another. Now, folks, I know there are problems. I know that there are things that come up in homes and marriages and individual lives, even in churches. Did you know that this church is, I mean, every now and then there's problems in it. Did you know that? Let me tell you why, because there's people that go here. And sometimes it's me and it's my problem, okay? I mean, it's just the way it is, right? But there should never be a time when you don't love each other. Love doesn't mean you don't disagree. Because I can about guarantee if you're married, you've had some disagreements. Amen. But I hope it doesn't mean your love ceases. Hey, you can disagree but not be disagreeable. You can disagree, but it shouldn't affect the love aspect. God wants people not to hold grudges, but to love one another. God says this is one way the world knows that we belong to God, is that we love each other. So love one another. And when you look at your pastor, what's not to love? Don't anybody answer that out loud, okay? And by the way, going back to this morning, the Lord knows what you're thinking right now, okay? But anyway, let me give you another one. Psalm 133. Psalm 133. I'm giving you some other verses on some of these, but I'm not turning to both of these, just one of them for time's sake. Psalm 133, verse number 1. That is, a church that's being a church that pleases God is a unified church. It's a loving church. We love each other, but we're also in unity. This is found, look at Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Unity. Now, for it to be in unity, somebody's got to lead, okay? The pastor's got to lead. And as long as he's not going off doctrinally and morally and financially, then the folks are to fall in line, you know, to all these kind of things, because anything with two heads is a monster. Now, no doubt about that. But the pastor needs to make sure his heart's right. He needs to make sure that he's leading right and all these kind of things. And if it comes to the color of the carpet and the pastor chooses blue, which is my favorite color, and the pastor chooses blue and all these kind of things, then if you don't like blue, then that's okay, but just don't make a big deal out of it. It's a good place to say amen right there, Daniel. Amen. Okay? So what I'm saying to you here is that there's got to be unity. A church that pleases God is unified. It's unified. And if the pastor's doing something that you just cannot agree with, there's no way I can submit to that, there's no way I can agree with that, there's just no way, then you have a choice to make. I'm not trying to get rid of anybody, okay? God knows my heart. But you need to be able to submit to your pastor. If you can't, then you need to find another church. Now, I say that with all the utmost respect. I'm saying that with a Christ-like spirit, all of that. It's not fair to you and not fair to the church, and God cannot bless it if there's disunity. Amen, right? I mean, that's basic Bible is what that is. Now, again, that doesn't mean that there's no disagreements. That doesn't mean that you're going to agree with everything I do. No. But if it's something where you just, you know, then there's a decision to make, okay? If not, then just say, I'm going to submit as unto the Lord because I know that's what pleases God. Got it? Are we good there, friends? Everybody understand what I'm saying? I want you to understand that thought, okay? Next one, Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse number 18. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18. Being a church that pleases God is a church that is Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18. The Bible puts it this way, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled or controlled by with the Spirit. A Spirit-filled church is a church that pleases God. No doubt about it. In other words, a church that the Holy Spirit is controlling. God, if God is pleased with us, it means we're not calling the shots. He is. Okay? Spirit-filled church. Galatians chapter 5. Hang in there, brethren. We're just about through with turning to these passages. Okay? But turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and look at verse number 13. A church that's being a church that pleases God is a serving church. A serving church. Galatians 5:13 puts it this way, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, here it is, but by love serve one another. Serve one another. Serve each other. A great example of this is found in the book of John chapter 13, where the Lord washed the disciples' feet. You know the story. He girded himself and he took a towel and he washed their feet. And through this, we see that he told the disciples, he said, I'm paraphrasing the story, but he said, you call me Master and Lord. And he said, you say well, for so I am. I am your Master. I am your Lord. And if I'm serving you, you should serve each other. Amen. You know what we live in today? We live in a world where people come to a church to be served. Well, what can this church do for me? Serve me and my family. Now, here's the thing. The pastor, the staff, the deacons, the church should serve your family. You understand? But that shouldn't be the reason you come. You should not come to be served. You should come expecting to be served a meal. You see what I'm saying? The right food, the Word of God. But you should not come to be served. You should come to serve. That's the spirit God wants. Could you imagine what would happen if everybody in this local church said, what can I do to help this church go forward for the cause of God? What in the world would happen, honestly? So, a serving church. Mark chapter 10, verse 44 and 45 says, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. John chapter 14, three more here. I'm going to start coming down for a landing with getting to our main thought here. John chapter 14. A church that's being a church that's pleasing to God is a surrendered church. John chapter 14, verse 15. The Bible puts it this way. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, what's the point here? The point here is this. A church that's being a church that pleases God is a church that no matter what God tells it to do, the answer is yes. God says, I want you to do this? Yes, sir. I want you to support that missionary? Yes, sir. I want you to have that ministry? Yes, sir. I want you to preach that sermon? Yes, sir. I'm not calling. Look here, please. The pastor is not to call the shots. The pastor is to get the mind of the Lord, and he calls the shots. He is leading through me. That's it. I'm not the head. He is. That's why we're not in a denominational headquarters, friends. We don't answer to other churches. We don't answer to a denomination. We answer to our headquarters, and his name is Jesus Christ. We get our orders from him, and we surrender. Now, I ask you a question. Is there anything that he's wanting you to do that you've not surrendered to? Because remember, to be a church that pleases God, we've got to be Christians that please God. So to be a Christian that pleases God, I've got to be a surrendered Christian. Just apply it to wherever you're at. Two more here. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. A church that's being a church that pleases God is a steadfast church. A rock-solid church. An unwavering church. They've driven a stake a mile deep and they're not moving. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. The Bible puts it this way. 1 Corinthians 16, 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. In other words, don't move. Find the truth and refuse to let it go. That's what steadfast means. It means there's no compromise. Look here, please. It's okay to compromise in some areas of life. Like in your marriage, it's okay to compromise some things. Okay? Not the truth, but some things. It's okay to compromise. Don't run from the word compromise, but when you think about the truth and the doctrine of the Word of God and holiness and these standards and being unified and loving, you ought to be steadfast in that. You're not going to move off of it. Because you know these things please God, and you're just going to be steadfast there. Let me give you a final thing, Matthew chapter 28. Now again, I remind you, this is not an exhaustive list. You know that. There's more than 13 things that the Lord wants the local church to be. But these are good. These are 13 wonderful things that we ought to commit to our memory this year, at least try to, and we ought to make it a prayer list. God, help us to be a Bible church. Help me be a Bible Christian. Help my marriage to be a Bible marriage. Help our church to be a Bible church. God, help me to be a praying Christian. Help our church to be a praying church. I mean, because these things please the Lord. I call this in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. See, I almost separated this and said a soul-winning church, a discipling church, a reproducing church. But the Lord just laid on my heart, just it's all in the same thing. In other words, a church that's being a church that pleases God is a great commission church. A great commission church. Now that means that we're doing our best to try to fulfill all of the commission of God. And what is that? It's soul winning, it's witnessing, it's going. Look at chapter 28, verse 18 of Matthew. Jesus came speaking to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Here it is. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. Lo, I'm with you all, even in the end of the world. That is not a give or take commission. God wants all of that done. He wants us to go. Now, it starts there. You've got to go. Okay? That word go just means as you're going. Just as you're going, go. Be soul conscious. Okay? So we ought to be going. We ought to be going here. That's soul winning. That's door to door. That's our bus routes. That's our Sunday school classes. That's our Fran, where we're trying to reach our friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors. That's Fran. You're going to hear that the longer you come here. Reach your Fran. Fran is her name. Friends, relatives, associates, neighbors. Go after them. You ought to go here, but then we ought to go there. That's our faith promise. That's our missions. That's mission trips. That's giving in the offering so we can support missionaries. We ought to go. But folks, we ought to encourage people to be baptized when they trust Christ as their Savior. God wants us not to drop the ball. He wants us to go after them and get them baptized. Not because they have to be baptized to go to heaven. No, no, no. But that's the first step of obedience. We've got to go after them and show them when they trust Christ, wonderful, praise God. Now what? Now what? They don't need to answer that. We need to train them in that. God wants us to see converts baptized. And not only that, he says, I want you to teach them all things whatever I've commanded you. What's that mean? That means it never stops. We have a discipleship course here. And this sound doctrine series that I've been doing, by the way, I've been studying the doctrine of angels. I've just gotten started. Wow, that's going to be a great study. this sound doctrine and so on. God willing, that may become some advanced discipleship material. But I'm telling you this, whenever our folks go through the discipleship material and they get their completion certificate, it's not over. It's just beginning. God wants us to teach them until the trumpet sounds. That's the Great Commission. Now, under the Great Commission, there are ministries. The soul-winning ministry and a visitor and a new move-in ministry and faith promise and discipleship. There's a lot under this, but God wants us to be a church that's a Great Commission church. By the way, He wants you to be a Christian that's a Great Commission Christian. He wants you to go. He wants you to encourage new converts. He wants you to be teaching somebody how they can become a better Christian. This is it. Now, while this is not exhaustive, these are several things that a church that pleases God will be summarized by. Let us determine to be a church that pleases God. In order for this to become a reality, every Christian should strive to be a Christian that pleases God. Therefore, let us all make sure our lives are summarized by these same truths. In other words, for this local church to be a church that pleases God that's summarized by this, I need to be a Christian that's summarized by this. I need to be a Bible Christian, a praying Christian, a worshiping Christian, a holy Christian, a believing Christian, a giving Christian, a loving Christian, a unified Christian, a spirit-filled Christian, a serving Christian, a surrendered Christian, a steadfast Christian, a Great Commission Christian. Do you see that? Do you see that? If I do that and you do that, then collectively we're going to be a church that pleases God. And this is it. Being Christians that please God results in being a church that pleases God. So it's not, how can we get that church where it needs to be? I tell you, I need to straighten them out, and I need to straighten that out, and I need to take it. No, look in the mirror and say, God, am I pleasing you myself? And if I'm pleasing him and you're pleasing him, then naturally the church is pleasing him. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, I told you I was coming back there, but in Hebrews chapter 11, this is a thought that I shared with your teenagers if they were in truth tonight. In chapter 11, verse number 5, the Bible says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It was not found but because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. I want you to think about those two words. This testimony. God's word said he had this testimony. He just pleased God. Let me ask you a question. What would God say about your testimony? He or she has this testimony. Would he follow it up like he did with Enoch? He pleases me. She pleases me. Or would he follow it up with something else? Folks, Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things. Listen to this. Thou hast created all things. And for Thy pleasure, they are and were created. Wow. What a verse. You are worthy, O Lord, for you have created all things. That includes me, friends. And for your pleasure, they are and were created. This is so simple, it's ridiculous. Where this church is in 10, 15, 20, 25 years from today depends on what we do with what I'm preaching tonight. Are we going to determine to have a church that just pleases God? If your answer is yes, and my answer is yes, we are well on the way to being a church that pleases the Lord. Do you at least understand the thought tonight
Do you at least understand the theme? Amen, yes? You got it? What are you going to do with it? I guarantee you, as we begin to prepare for the invitation, whoever's playing the piano, I guarantee you, look at me please, as your pastor, I love you. My wife loves you. We are here to serve and help you any way we can. And I've told you before, don't you ever feel like you're bothering us. Because God's helped me with something. I don't represent me, I represent Him. I'm the under-shepherd here. Wow. That means I represent the chief shepherd. His name is Jesus. And aren't you glad you can call on Him anytime? Aren't you glad you can call on Him and He'll never make you think that you're bothering Him? Amen. Don't ever feel bad to call your pastor. Because if I can get there, I'll get there. Because I know the Lord will always be there. Follow me? We love you. We care about you. But I'm going to give you a promise. If you do not live a life that's pleasing to God, you are opening the door for the devil to come in and destroy your life. And he'll do everything he can to destroy you, destroy your marriage, destroy your family, destroy your children. You know as well as I do that you've got to keep the door bolted. You cannot leave it cracked open. And if you're not going to please God, you're not only leaving it cracked open, you're leaving it wide open. I want to be a man, a Christian, that has this testimony like Enoch. He pleases God. I hope in your heart you're saying, me too. Me too. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. Just something of their own choosing. I wonder tonight, I never want to let a service come and go without giving somebody the opportunity to trust Christ if they need to be saved. Since I don't know your heart, I'm inviting you to come and let us take a Bible and share the gospel with you. Really tonight, I'm calling on the local church. Specifically the leaders, no doubt about that. But on top of that, just if you call this church your local church. Determine that we're going to have a church that pleases God. And the way we do that is we determine to be a Christian that's pleasing to God. Hey, this is the answer for your marriage. It's the answer for your life. It's the answer for your ministry. All of it. Let's just have a marriage that pleases God. Let's have a life that pleases God. That's it. And I'm trusting that many of you will get out of your seat and say, oh God, help us to be a church that pleases the Lord. I think it'd be great for some men to grab your wife by the hand, come to the altar, pray for the church, pray for the ministries here, pray for your marriage. I think it'd be great for some teenagers, if God's leading you to do this, get out of your seat and come and pray. Say, oh God, help us to be a Christian and a church that pleases God. Father, take it and use it, I pray. Use this theme. May we never get over it, ever get over it. And realize that this is where the rubber meets the road. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. They're just playing through softly. We won't have any singing, I don't think, Brother Daniel. Just let them play. Get out of your seat right now. Would you do that? If God's leading you to do it. And say, help me be a Christian. Help me to help this church to be a church that just pleases God. This is it. This is it. You can look this way. I believe we will sing that first verse in just a moment. Just keep playing with Miss Kim, if you don't mind. A couple reminders. Put it in your Bible. Every time you open your Bible, breathe a prayer. Oh God, help me to be a Christian that pleases you. Help our church to be a church that pleases you. Take these thoughts. Pray about it. God, help us to be a Bible church. Help the pastor never to deviate from being a Bible preacher. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, friends. I've opened my chest to you tonight. I put my heart out on the pulpit. I've preached my heart out tonight. Because I know what I've preached is where the rubber meets the road. This is it. Hope you see it. Let's sing this together. Let's all stand together. This will be our closing prayer. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. What page is that? 464. Grab your hymnal right there if you don't mind. Let's sing that together. Page 464. Let's sing that first verse together. And then we're dismissed, okay? Let's sing it together. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between. Hope you can sing that. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. She's playing through. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming tonight. God bless you. If you need to see me, I'll be right up here. If you need to see me, you come see me. Be happy to talk to you. God bless you.